When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the moment of the evening every K-State fan enjoys. Settle down and pour a whiskey, crack open a LaCroix. Please put your hands together and make a little noise for your favorite Wildcatters, the handsome Bosco boys.
Ooh, Bosco's boys.
Come on, boys.
Boom, the boys are back, and it is time for another episode of Bosco's Boys. Happy to be here, and I'm excited. Look, we got a fun little Monday show for us. We're going to talk about the latest portal commitment for K-State men's basketball. We're going to talk about some of the stuff we're hearing with football portal talk. You know, a surprise. I don't know if it's a surprise. Only one guy in the portal off of scholarship right now. Two guys total. So we'll talk about that. Some of the visits that are being lined up. Some of the other portal stuff. And really what's wild is April and May have just become portal month in college sports. You know, originally in my head, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, going to pre-record some episodes and try to take a break during this time. No. That's going to have to happen in like May and June before we start ramping up and getting ready for the football season in July before we get back to daily episodes in August. So, so a lot of talk, both football, basketball. I'll talk at least, you know, some of the stuff I'm hearing when I dive in and try to look at some draft stuff with both, with really Cooper Beebe and Ben Sennett, but we'll touch on KT Levinson and Khalid Duke as well. And then at least as of recording this, they just started the Bat-Cats going for a sweep over top 15 Oklahoma State. So a much needed series win. So we'll touch on that just a little bit at the end of the episode. So that is the trail. That is the map of this episode. I appreciate you guys listening. And let's get into it. But before we do, a shout out to my guys, Manhattan Brewing Company. First and foremost, if you haven't, if you want to see me get a little bit unhinged, a little bit drunk, we'll just call a spade, drinking beers and eating wings paired together by the guys at Manhattan Brewing Company, with my friend Philip Slavin, the three owners of Manhattan Brewing Company, go over to the 1012 Network YouTube page, watch that. We're having a good time. That's the second of those types of episodes. I really enjoy doing them. So I think at some point we'll probably have another summer pairing episode. We're already talking about doing a Halloween candy one, in October. So it really is just, you know, guys having fun, drinking beers, paired with food, and having a good time bullshitting around with each other. So check that out if you haven't. But also, look, Manhattan Brewing Company is where it's at. Look, part of that pairing, they have this Pilsner that is so good. It's truly one of the best beers I've had from them. Absolutely delicious and perfect as the weather's starting to warm up. So look at your local liquor store. Talk to them if they don't have it, if you're on in Kansas. Always stop in there for a four-pack, couple crowlers, and a couple pints anytime you go to Manhattan. Tell them Bosco's Boys sent you. Manhattan Brewing Company is truly the best brewery in the state of Kansas. I absolutely love them. All right, starting off, let's talk about CJ Jones. He is a Wildcat, spending his college career so far at University of Illinois Chicago. We talked about him on his visit last week. He did commit on Monday, so it was a fun little Monday afternoon getting that commitment. You can really start to see the shape of this team taking place, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But again, if you missed last week, CJ Jones, 6'5" guard. he's a guy who, you know, if you're talking traditional basketball, two or a three, you know, either, you know, the shooting guard or the small forward, however you want to play it, he can handle the ball. He can play on the wing. 11.5 points a game, 4.8 assists, almost 5 assists a game. He is a guy who is going to be able to knock down shots, get to the rim, but also distribute. And I talked about, you know, the vision of this team. And again, there's still, and we'll talk about it here in a bit, you know, you still currently have 4 spots open for next season. But so a lot of this will depend on who K-State still brings in. There's still like 3 or 4 weeks left for people to leave. So I'm not going to get too wrapped up in it, although we're gonna make some projections on roster space later. But you see a path to really have a starting lineup where your backcourt is Doug McDaniel, Day-Day Ames, and CJ Jones. And all 3 of these guys are capable of being 4 to 5 assist a game players, if not more. They're all capable of being anywhere between 11 to 15, 16 points a game or more. The or more might be stretching it a little bit. But you have 3 guys who you could say, all right, I have no problem seeing him be a 13 points, 5 assists, you know, a handful of rebounds type of guys in Day-Day Ames, CJ, and Doug McDaniel. And that gets you excited. CJ Jones, again, 6'5", so it brings a little bit more length that you're definitely going to need with Doug McDaniel and Day-Day Ames out there on the floor at the same time. So, again, get them in. When his semester wraps up at University of Illinois Chicago, give him to Manhattan, start learning some of the defensive concepts and working things together. I think this is a big-time pickup. Creighton wanted him bad. Illinois, Brad Underwood was going after him pretty hard. When he initially got into the transfer portal, everyone was like, oh, this guy's going to Illinois. He's gonna be part of that Fighting Illini basketball team. So getting him really was a good recruiting win for this staff as well. So he's going to be a guy who I don't see any scenarios in which he comes in and gets pushed out of the starting lineup. I think he's going to be a guy who's starting, especially with that length. But again, you're setting up a team that is going to be able to dribble drive. They're going to be able to set other guys up. They're going to be able to hit shots when they get their opportunity. You know, especially Day-Day and CJ, they have the ability to get to the rim as well. And I think that's going to just help not only the other guards, you know, they're going to be able to attack the rim. They're going to be able to knock down shots. It's really going to force a lot of the congestion out of the lane. But that's going to help David Gasson, who's going to be confirmed coming back. That's going to help whoever you find to play that 5 role or 4 if you're going to have David Gasson playing down on the post. I really think the flexibility and the ability to set up the teammates is something that we didn't have this past year. Again, it got better when Day-Day Ames got into the starting lineup, but Tyler Perry, he did all right. You know, David and Day-Day, you know, he did all right. Cam, I mean, he was not a distributor. He turned the ball over way too much. So I'm hoping when you have 3 guys who are all capable of really setting up their teammates on the outside, that's going to help open things up for themselves and for the big guys who you also have in there for you. So that was a massive get, and I'm pumped about it. Baba Miller was the other guy who was on a visit last week. It sounds like he's still going through the NBA process. It doesn't look like I haven't been able to gather if he's going to go on any other visits. I think some of those folks covering the transfer portal on Twitter said that Kentucky and BYU were reaching out to him, but it seems like he's K-State or the NBA right now. So anything can change, obviously. You know, things can change on the turn of a dime in the transfer portal era. But it seems like he's still being projected by some as a second-round NBA draft pick. So if he wants to just get started with his NBA career, maybe in pro career, because I don't think he's going to be in the NBA right away. He'll be a G League type of guy. So that's something where I don't foresee finality happening this week, maybe a week or two down the road. I'm not quite sure. I know when the NBA draft deadline is, but I foresee, at least as the tea leaf show right now, it's kind of K-State or NBA. So it'd be nice to close in on Miller. We'll see what happens, and we'll definitely talk about it if/when it happens. Like I said, I think the vision for this team is really starting to come together when you have those distributors on the outside who are capable of being double-digit point scorers, capable of knocking down three-point shots when they get open. I think there's a lot of question marks still surrounding, you know, the 4 and 5 spot, maybe finding another wing. The visit that they have going on right now as I record this is Brendan Housen, who is a Villanova guy, former top 40 recruit. I'm not kidding. Like, all but 12 of his shots this past year were from three. This guy is just a three-point shooter. That is all he is. He's a career 40.7% shooter. I don't think he is a guy who you bring in to start. I think this is a guy, and we saw how Villanova used him. I think he's a 15 to 17 minute a game guy. You bring him in for 4 or 5 minutes at a time. You set up on the outside, and he chucks threes. He's throwing like five threes a game. He's hitting two of them, 2.5 a game. And he's going to get you between 6 to 9 points almost exclusively from the three-point line. And this is the type of guy that I think every basketball fan, and especially every college basketball fan, is like, man, you know, we need this guy who can come in, hit 3 three-pointers a game, play 15 to 17 minutes, not get roasted on defense, and like, that's like the perfect bench piece, you know. And he was made in a factory for that. Does he have the potential? Does he have the pedigree to be more than that? I'm not sure. I don't necessarily see it, but he's only played 2 years of basketball. He has two more ahead of him. Was a former, like I said, top 40 prospect. He was a guy that Jay Wright definitely recruited hard. And, it's kind of a shit show up there. I don't think Villanova really knows what's going on right now. And I think they're probably going to be begging Jay Wright to come back here probably, what, next spring. So look, can he be more? Maybe. I'm not holding my breath for it, but you need those role guys. You need guys who can come in. They have a skill. They buy into it. And this guy's just going to let it go, let it rain from three. So that's what I'm hoping. I hope that they can close in on him. And then again, you are ticking the boxes, you're checking them off of building this roster. And again, there is so much time before the NBA draft deadline. There's still 3 or 4 weeks left for folks to get into the transfer portal. And look, in this modern world of college basketball, just because a guy says he's going to come to K-State, things can change. Hell, we stole two guys late last season. But it's starting to come into vision, and I want to give a shout out to my friends over at the Three Maw Paw over on the Kansas City Sports Network. The Three Maw Paw over there at Kansas City Sports Network, they had Jerome Tang on this week, and Jerome Tang really said, "Hey, look, I think we've learned our lesson in the past. I want to have the team wrapped up by June." That hasn't happened in his time at K-State. You know, we're bringing in guys in, I believe, August both years. So getting those guys in for, June, get summer classes, being able to work, you know, all of June, July, and August before school starts back up, before official practices start in October, that's going to be absolutely massive. And when you're looking at things, and again, I already said it, there's still 3-4 weeks left. I have no idea what's going to happen. You currently have 4 positions open. Now, that could change if Arthur Kaluma decides to come back. Again, shout out to, you know, I believe it was John Kurtz with Derek Young, friend of the show, Derek Young. We're talking to Jerome Tang, and Jerome Tang was pretty adamant saying, hey, you know, we want Arthur to hear his name called, whether it's this June or next June. So it seems like it's NBA draft or K-State for Arthur Kaluma. I had not been given any credence really to it. I've kind of turned my nose up at any idea of Arthur Kaluma coming back. It sure seems like folks want people to believe it's a realistic option. And at least it seems in the only time he's been asked about Arthur Kaluma in a public setting, Jerome Tang is sure making it seem like, hey, there's a chance he could be coming back. So that would bring you down to just 3 spots left. Again, you have Housen on campus right now. And if you close Bob and Miller, all of a sudden you're down to just 1 spot. I definitely want to see that go to a guy who can either start or pair with David Gasan at the 5. Again, I think in an ideal world, again, I don't know. I don't know if Kaluma is going to buy into this. I don't know if how his defense kind of translates to playing the 4 full time. But you know, if you get a starting lineup where you have Day-Day, Doug McDaniel, C.J. Jones, Arthur Kaluma, and then David Gasan. There's a couple other guys. Again, Nick Pringle from Alabama, you see on Twitter, K-State being connected to him. That's a pretty good starting lineup. Now, a lot of folks would say, okay, what about Bob and Miller? If he's like your first kind of quote-unquote big off the bench, where you could see David Gasan go to the 4 if you're bringing him in for a guard. You can see all sorts of different combinations. But I think that would be an ideal world. I would like to see David Gasan play predominantly down at the 5. I'd like to see Arthur Kaluma playing predominantly more at the 4, pair him with Bob and Miller, pair David Gasan spelling that, whatever big you bring in. I think that's giving you flexibility, more athleticism, and allows you to maybe see that 5 out a little bit more, that vision for what they wanted to do this past offseason. And when you have 3 guys who can dribble the ball and distribute, you take that off of Arthur Kaluma's plate. You allow him to be a catch and shoot guy or a catch and attack the rim type of guy. I think that really sets him up a lot better than what we saw this past year, where he had to be part of the distribution. He had to be part of the ball movement. So if Arthur Kaluma comes back, I hope we see that from him a little bit more than we saw this past season. But we'll see. Again, it's going to be a fun next, 6 weeks. If Jerome Tang really wants to have it all wrapped up by June 1, you got about 6 weeks to put together the team. And, I'll feel a lot better. I mean, I think there's been a handful of episodes the last 2 years where, we're into June and July where I'm like, man, are we going to get 13 scholarships? So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, 1 last plug for the KCSN K-State show with Jerome Tang. He also confirmed Quez Glover coming back. So that's kind of off the table now. So go check that out. Derek Young does a great job on that show, and John Kurtz was there too, and Cole Manbeck is the 3rd of 3. All 3 great guys. So go check out that show as well. All right, a little football talk before, again, we touch on the 4 guys who I at least consider the 4 best prospects, pro prospects for the NFL draft. So the football portal is open. I was anticipating it being a little crazier. Colorado's lost a shit ton of folks. Jaden Rashada left Arizona State. So at least in our orbits of Big 12, it hasn't been as wild as I think some of the folks around the business, some of the college football media members, you think Josh Pate, you think some of those national podcasts who talk to multiple different coaching staffs every single day. And that portal closes I think it's only open for 2 weeks, so I think we only have like a week left of it. But nothing too crazy in the Big 12 world. I guess TCU lost their All-American candidate defensive tackle. So, again, nothing too crazy there. K-State lost Max Marsh, who was a walk-on quarterback, turned safety, turned back to quarterback for the bowl prep. I think he was doing spring practice as a quarterback. I don't know if he ever got put on scholarship, but it sounds like he wants to finish off his college football playing career someplace where he can play quarterback. Obviously was not going to get on the field at K-State. Wish him best. Again, he's a guy who was on special teams. You saw him take a few snaps at safety during games. Not a massive loss. So I'm not that literally, if you're putting on like a scale 1 to 10 of like, oh, you know, worry, anything like that, it's like a 0.2. I wish him best, but does not register anything at all. The next one was Javon Banks, and quite frankly, I was a little surprised to see some of the reaction on this one out there. Now, look, I'm a sicko. I read everything. I'm lucky enough to talk to a few folks close to or around K-State football. I subscribe to, you know, the sites. I read just about everything that comes out about K-State football and men's basketball. So again, I'm not criticizing the people who might have been freaking out a little bit about this, but Javon Banks leaving, you know, is maybe a 1.5. The reason why I'm not freaking out at all, the reason why this doesn't register at all for me, is he's a guy who last year, and Chris Kleiman talked about it, he struggled to keep on weight. By the end of the season, he was far too small to be playing inside at defensive tackle, which is where we were playing him. We were playing him as Uso's backup, really in pass rush situations. And he wasn't able to keep on the weight. This offseason, they just said, all right, you can't keep on the weight. We'll bounce you out to the big defensive end position. And quite frankly, it sounds like he was maybe fourth on the depth chart there going into what I believe is his final season. He might have a couple, you know, years left, but he was not going to play at K-State. He's a guy who needs to go to a football team that is playing a four down defensive line type of thing. He probably needs to work to try to find a way to keep on weight, because I think he would be best as a three tech, you know, on top of or just off of a guard. I don't think he has the necessary quickness or pass rush ability to be playing out on the edge anywhere, no matter what the system is. So I think he needs to find a place that's a four down, or he needs to transfer down, you know, talking about like a Sunbelt school or go down to FCS. Because if he wants to be playing on the edge, I just don't see it with Javon Banks. So I wasn't worried at all, but I think maybe it wasn't the worrying about Javon Banks leaving. Maybe the more casual K-State football fan was coming to the realization of, okay, hey, you know, what do we have behind Uso? Because, again, Uso is a beast getting, you know, centers having to, you know, always take help. No one's taking Uso heads up. You're having people have to double, triple team Uso. He's getting penetration. But a big guy like that, you know, you're not going to be playing 80 snaps a game. You're going to have a healthy rotation. And then behind him, it's like, okay, it's Damian Eulalio, who we've seen, you know, make a couple big plays in his very, very young career at K-State. But after that, it's like, what do we got? And again, not very proven, not a veteran. And, you know, that's where the worry comes. And I think that defensive tackle, nose guard, I think that is a spot that they need to try to find a way to improve high school recruiting. I think you need to treat that like quarterback, especially in this three-down world. I think you need to be taking one every year, and I think you probably need to be looking into a JUCO or a transfer almost every year as well, because you're going to have attrition. You're going to have guys who you have to, you know, help them find other opportunities, because that is a tough position to play in major college football. It is probably the least fun position to play in major college athletics is nose guard. And just because you're a big guy, maybe with a wrestling background, or maybe you're just big and tall and you're strong, you have to have a mentality to play that spot. So I think you need to be looking at bringing in at least one high school guy, and probably, if not every year, every other year, finding a JUCO or upperclassman transfer to help support that depth. And that has to be priority one when it comes to the transfer portal. And again, I think you're going to hear about visits, you know, over April and May. I think it is important to find a guy that you feel confident in spelling USO, and a guy that you feel confident splitting those reserve reps in practice with Damian Eulalio, as you have to get him ready. And ideally, it would be a guy who has a 2 to 3 years of eligibility after this year, so you don't have to be in a do-or-die position in finding a defensive tackle in the portal next year. But that has to be the most in-demand position. I would imagine if you took a survey of all 120 FBS teams, so that's, Division 1A. Hell, even throw the FCS in, that's what, 180? 190, I don't know how many FCS teams there are. But, if you talk to, not even Division One, I bet if you talk to Coach Craig Shuri at Washburn University, and you said, in any coach, Washburn University, North Dakota State, Kansas State, Kent State, it doesn't matter. They all would like another defensive tackle that they feel confident in being able to play. And especially if you go to anyone who's playing a three down, you're talking about true head up or head off shade nose guard. Every single one of them says, yeah, we would love to bring in another guy that we feel confident in either starting or being the number one guy in a rotation. So K-State is not alone in this. I think in this transfer portal, I think especially when you see guys transferring out of non-SEC schools, so in the spring you can't go SEC to SEC, I think every single defensive tackle is going to be looking down south and thinking, all right, give me my payday. I would imagine that is the most expensive position in this new NIL world in the spring portal. So K-State won't be alone looking at that. We talked about it last week. At least all the tea leaves point to them really wanting a linebacker, whether or not they anticipate losing a guy, whether it's in the portal or something else, or just rehab with all those guys with a lot of promise but are banged up in the linebacker room. A lot of the tea leaves point to going after a linebacker. So, again, I think the wish list has to be number one, defensive tackle, number two, linebacker. And then from there, it's a little bit of a luxury type of thing. Can you find an experienced quarterback who's okay sitting? Can you find a running back who's okay coming in and being the number two guy? Still getting plenty of touches, by the way. You go look at the amount of touches Trayshawn Ward got. You got to be thinking like, all right, that ain't chump change when it comes to running backs at high major level. And then here's the thing. If DJ has a big season, we could be talking about him in 52 weeks and where he's projecting in the NFL as well. So I would think you would be a somewhat, attractive spot for a running back with multiple years of eligibility. Is there a wide receiver out there that you might want to take? I think, again, like I said, I think it becomes a luxury type of thing. Not that we have a bunch of proven wide receivers that you think, hey, we got five guys. You can go five wide without including, the tight ends, without including DJ to go out there and make noise. I think it would be a luxury situation. Hey, right place, right time, right NIL price, and coming in with a sober mind of, hey, you got Jace Brown. Hey, you got Keegan Johnson. Hey, you got Dante Cephas. You got a bunch of young, promising guys as well, so you're going to have to fight for some spots. That's why I say it definitely would be a luxury pickup. So we'll see what happens. You know me, I'm always willing to take more defensive backs, but I think the safeties are going to be like really good. I think the safeties are going to be really good this year. I feel really good about your top two cornerbacks. I think, you know, young guys like McIntosh, he's a guy who I loved, absolutely loved coming out of Missouri. He redshirted last year. I think he's going to be a redshirt freshman that really impresses some folks this year as well. So I think the secondary is in a good place, but you guys know me. As long as I've been doing this, I've been saying college football, if you have a high-quality defensive back transfer, you can bring him in as well. But I really do think you are in a position where I think you know who your starters are. You know, given your formation, you know your 14 starters on offense and 14 starters on defense. Again, given the scheme, given the changes. Again, I know there's only 11 start. Like, don't be coming at me. But I think you know your top, you know, 14 guys. So your 6 offensive linemen, your 2 tight ends, your 3 wide receivers, your 1 running back, your quarterback. I think you know, depending on the situation, I think you know your top 3-4 defensive ends. I think you know your number 1 defensive tackle. I think you know for a fact 2 of your starting linebackers. Maybe linebacker might be the one spot where you truly are looking for your starter. But I think you know your top 3-4 corners. I think you know your top 3-4 safeties. So I think you really need to find that number 2 defensive tackle, and you might need to be finding a starting linebacker. But that's what I'll be watching over the next couple weeks when it comes to football portal. And, of course, keeping hold of everyone. I'm very happy that we've only lost those 2 guys so far. Okay, well, we'll wrap up talking about a little bit of NFL draft, and then we'll touch on K-State baseball again, recording this as they're going for the sweep over number 15, Oklahoma State. So really, we'll just kind of start in order of guys who I thought, you know, where they would go. It may not work out like that. I'm very surprised, and we touched on this a little bit last week, and we're just going to talk about it now. I'm really surprised there hasn't been more momentum around Cooper Beebe being a first-round draft pick. And here's the thing with interior offensive line guys, especially if they're getting taken, you know, anywhere after 20, it's going to come down to, okay, depending on where an individual team had him on the board. But I have heard next to no real buzz about him getting up into that first round. So I think he's going to eventually be a mid to late second round draft pick. I know that's probably going to be a little bit disappointing for him and his camp. And I know I think I said this before. I think I've said this on the show. I don't think I've kept the secret. I had Cooper Beebe as my number 3 guy on my Heisman poll this past year. You don't see someone at a power conference level dominating the game from a guard position hardly ever. Cooper Beebe took games over. He was so dominant. I truly do not think I have ever seen a football player dominate more over a 2-season period. Again, there were times where no one could block, you know, Felix Anu, DK Uzama, Jordan Willis, some of these great defensive ends. You know, you've seen game record games from Will Geary inside. You've seen quarterbacks take games over. But at a guard, it seemed like every single time I rewatched a game, you saw Cooper Beebe just destroying someone. So I am shocked. Again, I'm not an NFL draft expert. I just, you know, I think if I didn't have this podcast in a busy work life, I probably would dive more into the scouting, like NFL draft type of stuff. I've always enjoyed the NFL draft, but now it's really like, okay, I'll read some mock drafts, I'll try to follow some K-State guys, and then, you know, I just sit back and kind of veg out watching everything Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because I think it's cool. I think all the drafts are cool. I mean, I watch more you know, minutes. If you did a stopwatch of me watching NBA regular season versus the NBA draft, I watch more. I will watch the NBA draft start to finish. I'll even turn on MLB Network and watch the MLB draft. There's something about someone starting their professional career I enjoy it, whatever. So I can't tell you why there's, you know, a handful of interior offensive line guys who are ranked in front of Cooper. I think that is a massive mistake. Again, I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan. If the Chiefs somehow ended up with Cooper Beebe, I truly believe he could be a day one starter. I know they've put more money into guard than they probably should. But I truly think that Cooper Beebe is going to be a guy who will be a day one starter in the NFL if given the opportunity, if given you know, the chance at that level. And I think he is the real deal. So my hope for Cooper, especially since it doesn't seem like first round's on the table for him, I hope it drafts him with the idea of letting him play from the start, because I think this guy is going to end up being a 10, 11-year NFL vet, going to make gobs and gobs and gobs of money. Granted, you know, it's gonna have to start on that second contract, which, you know, all the more reason for Cooper to hop in the draft this year. I think he's going to be the real deal. I think a lot of folks listening, you know, they're going to be able to turn on a game on Sunday and say to the kid, oh, yeah, you know, you remember Cooper Beebe? He was a Wildcat, you know. He's still playing in the NFL. I think he's going to have, you know, that 10-year type of NFL career. Ben Sennett, he depending on which NFL draft board you look at, I mean, some folks have him as the number two tight end, which, I mean, look, I would be shocked. I'd be shocked if he ends up being a first-round draft pick. I don't think that's going to happen. But I no longer would be shocked if he comes off the board before Cooper Beebe. He has had a great, you know, prep. You know, he did well at his All-Star game. He did well down in at the Combine, or up at the Combine in Indianapolis. Sounds like he's had a lot of great, you know, draft visits. Again, speaking through the lens of a Kansas City Chiefs fan, I would absolutely love it if Ben Sennett ended up in Kansas City. He's a guy who has a history of also putting his hand in the ground in the backfield as well, so you can line him up when you need a fullback. I think Ben Sennett himself is also going to have a good NFL career. And I think, you know, what going into this process, you're thinking, all right, you know, hopefully early day three. I would be shocked if he's on the board come day three, you know, in the fourth round. I think this guy's going at worst in the third round, and I'm pumped for him. KT Lev, look, I think he's going to be a guy where hopefully he impressed someone at one of the combines or pro days. I haven't been tracking his workouts very closely, so I don't know what teams or who he's gone and visited, you know, in person. I think he's going to be a guard in the NFL. I'm hoping he gets taken somewhere in the sixth or seventh round. And that would be awesome for KT. If not, I think he will be a priority pickup for anyone who needs young offensive linemen, especially on the interior. But again, in a crazy situation, you know, I wouldn't want KT having to kick out to tackle in the NFL. But, you know, he could. I'm not quite sure. I would take all these guys, or at least I'd take these three guys on the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, given the right circumstances, and I'd be pumped to see him. But again, I think all three of those guys will get drafted. I think we're going to have back-to-back years with three guys getting drafted, which I think is great for the brand, great for recruiting, especially in this world where, you know, everything's about dollars and cents. It's not about college. It's about NIL and trying to get you to the NFL. And if you can go three straight years having three or more guys, and all guys who, look, KT was the highest rated out of all of them. Ben Sennett was a walk-on fullback from Iowa. Cooper Beebe was a two-star defensive tackle from Piper, Kansas. So that would be big for all three of those guys. Khalid Duke also, again, look, he was at the NFL Combine. I don't think he measured very well. I think he has to go to a place where he can play outside linebacker. I don't see him. I don't see him being a hand in the dirt defensive end in the NFL. I think he's always going to be a gadget guy or a specific package. I think that really lowers his ceiling. I don't think he's going to get drafted. If it does, it definitely will be in round 7. Hopefully he gets picked up at a place that has a scheme for him. Honestly, if you kind of look back on this past season, kind of a disappointing season for him, even getting back to being a hand in the ground defensive end. If he's going to do that, it has to be in a 4-down. He has to be on the outside shoulder. He cannot be inside shoulder of a tackle or anywhere near a guard. He has to just be speed, one move on the outside, and hope for the best. So I'll definitely, it makes it fun. Those 7th rounds, those late rounds, when you have a guy, from your school that you're watching it, hoping he gets picked up, that kind of adds to the final hours of the NFL draft. So hoping for all 4 of those guys to get picked up. I definitely will be keeping an eye out to see any other possible signings. Probably will wait to record next week until later in the evening on Sunday so we can see where anyone lands in the free agent signing world as well, if any of that happens. So we'll keep an eye out, looking forward to it. We'll wrap up K-State baseball. Like I said, much needed series win at home at Toynton Family Stadium over number 15, Oklahoma State. It was, folks, a big one because they had been sliding. It had been a pretty rough go at it for a while. So for them to keep their postseason hopes beyond, making a run down in Arlington, the Big 12 tournament, which they always seem to do. They always seem to make it to the semis so they always make noise down there. But I think they want to be able to go into Arlington thinking, all right, hey, we're going to get back to postseason play. They really needed to stop the bleeding. As of recording this, they're down 4-3 to Oklahoma State. Hopefully they get that sweep, but if not, winning the series was massive in itself. So shout out to the Batcats. Absolutely massive end to the season. I'm pulling up the remainder of their schedule right now. So they have the home series with Oklahoma State. They got a midweek with Omaha. They're at TCU and then a midweek at Nebraska before a home series with KU on the 3rd through the 5th. I believe that entire series is already sold out. So if you want to go out and see the Batcats midweek on the 23rd versus Omaha, it's going to be the next chance to do it unless you want to wait till South Dakota or BYU to wrap up the season. So look, I hope they are able to get some wins. Again, they're going to have to do some of this away from Toynton Family Stadium, which has been a tough ask for them so far. But hopefully they come back, get the sweep versus Oklahoma State, take care of business with Omaha. If you could get 2 or 3 between TCU and Nebraska on the road, that would set you up to have a shot down the stretch. So we'll keep an eye on it, and if they can get to postseason play, we'll get Brian Smoller back on to preview some postseason baseball in late May. So that's all we have. As always, we'll be back next week. If any crazy breaking news happens, we'll be in midweek. Still trying to get trivia scheduled. Eventually, at some point, we'll get Grant back on. At that point, we're going to be like multiple months beyond the anniversary of the show. We're already a month past the anniversary of the show, but hey, it is what it is. He's a busy guy. We'll have trivia. We're going to try to have some more guests, but again, there's been news, and look, I think I said this last offseason, but the between the portal and team building for both men's basketball and football, the offseason has shrunk big time, and going only one show a week, before you know it, it's July, it's August. So we'll try to have some fun shows throughout rest of this offseason. But, man, the news just keeps on coming, and it won't stop coming. So that's all we have for Chauncey Bosco, the best dog in the world. My name is Scott. We love you guys, and go Cats.
Hail to the purple, hail to the white, wildcat in spirit, wildcat in fight. Hail, alma mater, from sea to sea. Fight, UK State Wildcats for alma mater fight. Glory in the combat for the purple and the white. Faithful to our colors, we will ever be. A-fighting, ever fighting for a wildcat victory.
Fight, 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 fight.
UK State Wildcats for alma mater fight.
Fight, fight, fight.
Glory in the combat for the purple and the white. Faithful to our colors, we will ever be. Fighting, ever fighting for a wildcat victory.
Go State!
One, two, ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Network.